Good morning, everybody, and welcome to IWPN Radio. My name is Mark Norman. I'm here today with my co-host, Bob Lipinski, and our guest host, Martin Cody. Bob, Martin, why don't you say hello to the audience?
Yes, good morning, Bob. Good morning, Mark.
Very briefly, I am a international wine business specialist. Recently, Bob Lipinski and I started a whole new program. It is a dedicated wine professional network for wine professionals and for wine passionate people. Bob, why don't you say a little bit about, tell them, the audience, a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm a writer. I'm the author of 10 books on alcoholic beverages and food. I conduct seminars and workshops worldwide on beverages. I've even conducted seminars at the White House for the in Washington, D.C., that is, for the executive waitstaff on sensory evaluation, pairing wine with food, and proper wine service. It was quite an experience, I might say.
Thank you. Martin, if you could, would you tell the audience, give them a little insight in who you are and what is a cellar angel?
Sure. Thanks, Mark and Bob. Pleasure to meet you. Cellar Angels is a company. I'm president and CEO and founder of the company, and it's designed to connect the growing wine audience in the United States with the small upper echelon boutique wine producers in Napa and Sonoma and give them some exclusive access while at the same time raising considerable funds for some pretty extraordinary causes around the country that the consumer gets to select where the proceeds go. So we're kind of in the matchmaking business of great winery with passionate wine lovers.
Fantastic. So if you don't mind, can you tell the audience when you started Cellar Angels and how it came to be?
Sure. We actually started, we're going into our sixth year right now. We started in 2010 during the height of the then economic recession, and basically it was an effort to share the greatest wines with a much larger audience. The company headquarters, while it's a virtual company, 100% online at cellarangels.com, the company is located in Chicago, and if you both know, you know, next to New York and probably some other areas around the country, Chicago is a very big food and wine city, and during the 2009-2010 recession, there was a lot of great restaurants going out of business, and we determined to do something about it. And we recognize that there's many, many good things about life in general, and we think fine wine is a part of it. And we know enthusiasts appreciate the finer things in life, and understanding this, they also have a philanthropic pursuit. So we decided to combine the two in what we believe is the ultimate pairing, wine and giving.
Fantastic.
So today we're fortunate to have Cellar Angels in basically every single state in the country that allows direct-to-consumer shipping.
Fantastic. Bob, why don't you ask the next question?
Yeah,
to
Martin. Obviously, supporting charitable foundations is a key to your business. How do you currently connect with those organizations?
It's a great question. There are so many philanthropic groups out there, and when we started working with the wineries in Napa and Sonoma, we questioned how they came in touch with the charitable organizations, and they, like Cellar Angels, basically get solicited every single week. And it's one of the things that's been more of the surprising aspects of this journey is how difficult it is to give away money. So we had to look early on, because many of the bricks and mortar charities, as we describe them, some of the old standards that have been around 50, 75, 100 years, while they have wine at every single one of their events, many of them have charter clauses that say they cannot accept contributions from an alcohol company. And while we're technically not an alcohol company, but really more of a boutique marketing concierge company, we understand that. So we're now focused on more of the younger charities, if you will, that recognize the crowdsourcing model and that hundreds, if not thousands, of contributions in small denominations can actually move the needle. So we're fortunate now that many of those charity partners find us. And as I mentioned previously, the member gets to actually select which charity to choose from our drop-down list. And we hear much to our delight, really, that is the hardest decision to have to make because there's so many worthy causes to select from, be it environmental, medical, pediatric, or animal. There's just a lot of different things to choose. And essentially anyone with a large member base is a potential charity partner.
That's, you know, it's really interesting because, you know, even though supposedly we're out of the recession, you know, there are still some people hurting. There are so many people who seem to be atypical or, I'm sorry, very typical. You love wine, you love food, but you also tend to be very giving. So I can see really where that works in very well with, you know, your effort, the winery's effort, and wine lovers. Martin, can you tell us a little bit more about, you know, a typical member of your business and what kind of wine drinkers would be attractive to what you're doing?
Sure. It's been interesting over the last 5 years as we cultivate a fairly sophisticated wine clientele, and many of them appreciate probably the biggest differentiator for Cellar Angels, and that's the exclusivity. Because the wines we feature on our site, you won't find on other sites. Rarely are they available outside the winery's private list. Very few, if any, of them have distribution. And some of the wines we have on the site right now, one of them has 46 case production. So there's not a distributor in his or her right mind normally that would carry a wine with 46 case production, but it's a side project by a winemaker of the year. And so our members kind of appreciate that exclusivity to have access to these wines. And I think the other differentiating factor, Mark, is something that you and I have talked about in the past, and that's really our service. Our clientele appreciates what we refer to as kind of the white glove service approach. They appreciate our personal phone calls to them to check in, handwritten thank you notes, the speed of our communication, the way we communicate on their behalf with the winery, and they've come to expect that. So we deliver what we refer to as a cut above from that standpoint and kind of try to carry that through to make certain that they have an unsurpassed wine experience. And our members are wine enthusiasts. They are not looking for 80% off bargains or anything like that. They appreciate the fine wine. They appreciate exclusive access. And they also have a philanthropic heart. So they, all of this is available to them via Cellar Angels, and they genuinely find a great home.
Let me ask maybe a follow-up on them. I'm very interested in that concept of the wineries. In my past life, I was a winemaker, and oftentimes we'd always make small batches of wines just to see, to test the waters, perhaps put it into the tasting room to kind of gauge the interest of the consumer.
Sure.
Do you find many wineries like to want to jump on that concept by saying, hey, I have a 46-case production or a 25-case production. How excited are they to have these wines which have not been sold commercially or have any reviews by members of the press and so forth sent to your members or purchased by your members? What's their reaction to this?
The winemaker, well, Bob, your past life as a winemaker, now you're the author of 10 books. This is you've had quite an interesting journey. I'm looking forward to learning more about it.
Thank you.
And as a former winemaker, you know the economic viability of making 50 cases isn't there.
Correct.
It's all about the passion. So when these winemakers in Napa and Sonoma, when they come across some unbelievable vineyard blocks and there's just enough fruit to make 50 cases or 150 cases, whatever it may be, they're pursuing the passion of winemaking, and that passion comes through in the final product. So they're excited to have an avenue to both get this product in front of customers that appreciate that dedication to quality, and at the same time, they know that any bottle sold is going to benefit a greater cause. And most of the winemakers we've met, it's all about that circle of life. It's all about giving back and sharing the bounty of what nature provides them in the landscape that they're able to work in. And so it's really kind of a nice environment for them to have access to a growing audience that says, well, yeah, here's 46 cases of a Cabernet Sauvignon off Howell Mountain that no one would ever see the light of day except for maybe family and friends that now can find a home. It's really kind of a fun experience for them.
I tell you, years back, I had the opportunity of being involved. It was a group of winemakers up in Sonoma County, California. And they banded together and they decided to, almost like what you're saying now with their wines, and they actually decided, let's five or six winemakers, and they created one wine for a, I'm not sure if it was called a Sonoma Historical Society, I don't recall the actual name, but they said, well, we all have a say, small production, and we have 30 cases to us, 20 cases. It's not really enough to get out there to be sold. So let's see if we can all band together and create a special wine which would not be available to the public in the commercial sense, you know, as far as distributors, but at the same time have something available for special guests, for members, for mailing lists, and so forth. So it's a very viable concept, and I do know that many winemakers, they're thrilled with the opportunity to make small batches of trial wines that, again, might not have the same commercial appeal. Now, I have a two-part question for you. So we'll start with the first part. How do you connect with wineries?
Prior to Cellar Angels, I used to own a bricks-and-mortar wine store in downtown Chicago. And we catered to kind of the small boutique producers from around the world. And we're big believers in that every wine has a story. I personally and professionally just believe some stories are better to tell than others. So we're not that interested in telling the story of a 16 million case producer. We are very interested in telling and sharing the story of the small producer. And because of our exclusive focus on Napa and Sonoma, and we chose those two areas because obviously of their commercial recognition and society and the Society of Fine Wine Drinkers recognizes it. We've come after 5 years to become quite well known in the valleys. So wineries now are seeking us out, and it's a very fortunate position to be in. And they do it because of kind of how we engage in the process. This isn't a digital end of bin sale or anything like that. We go out and we send a film crew to interview and videotape the winery, and we give the winery the custom movie. And these are very high caliber films that we produce. We've incorporated over a year ago drone footage of the winery so that any point in time now a consumer can log on to cellarangels.com and look at past offers and really get an in-depth look of the people behind the winery, why it's special, what the soil is, and they can really glean very quickly the romance side of this winery and the offering. We also interact with the wineries and the consumer, and it all lends itself because we want to help the winery grow to growing their customer base, and they don't have to hop on a plane and go to different markets and travel because, Bob, as you know, the oldest saying in wine is if you want to make a small fortune in wine, start with a large one. Yep. So it's a very difficult business, but we believe everything of high quality is made in small production, whether that's timepieces, artwork, yachts, homes, whatever it is, they aren't mass-produced, and we think wine is the same way. So wineries now appreciate that philosophy, and they want to come to us and get more exposure and share their wonderful product with a very discerning audience. We're very fortunate in that regard.
Martin, I applaud you on that. And you mentioned to me a very key word, and that's romance. And, you know, we, as consumers, there's always romance in a bottle of wine. It's not like a bottle of whiskey. I mean, you don't never order a scotch on the rocks and you have the sommelier or you have anybody bringing the bottle to you and showing you the bottle and then letting you smell the screw top. Whereas, you know, the romance of wine, it is part ritualistic, but the rituals are obviously what makes it. But more so than that, the footage that you're getting of these wineries, it's very important because it gives a sense of place. Many wines, I receive catalogs, mailings, I'm sure you do, Martin, I'm sure you do, from various companies which want to sell you wines I've never heard of for ridiculous prices. And it's just a catalog, and to me, it's a bottle with a label. It doesn't tell me very much, and sometimes I even buy physical bottles of wine, and I turn and flip over to the back label, and on the back label, there's nothing about the winery. There's nothing about the wine. Well, we said we only use the finest grapes. I'd like to find out who uses the second best quality grapes, but that's a different conversation. But the important thing is that, you know, your constituents, your members, they can't necessarily go to the winery per se and taste that wine at the winery and meet the winemaker and touch the soil and taste the soils, so to speak. But with that video and then giving members an opportunity at a later date to get onto their website and see the footage, that gives a certain sense of place. And I believe that's a very integral part of wine marketing and wine selling.
Well, thank you. And we completely agree. And for us, it's just fascinating and humbling to share these stories. You look at one of the wines that's on the site right now, Von Holt, and a Chardonnay from the Sonoma Coast. And Chris Von Holt was a Secret Service agent that had the detail of the Vice President Gore. So he traveled around the world protecting Vice President Gore, and in doing so found himself in many restaurants and that sort of thing, and got a refined palate by drinking wines from all over the world, and now wanted to settle in the California region and make some of those wines. You're not going to find that story in a 90,000 case producer lining a grocery store. And those are the types of romantic stories that we aspire to share. And you both have been to wine countries or wine areas and regions around the world, to where some of the most enjoyable experiences are when you're sitting with the winemaker and they pull out a reserve bottle where they only made a small production of, and you get to learn intimate details about how that bottle came about, that vintage. And it's something that you go home and you always have with you, and you cherish that memory. Those are the types of stories and experiences we want to provide.
Now, here's the second part of the question. We talked about how you connect with wineries. Second part is, what kind of wines are of interest to you and your members?
There's a little bit of a divergence there.
Sorry, let me just jump in. You can also put as far as grapes or styles of wine also, please.
Sure. It's what's of interest to me is I like, people ask me all the time, what's your favorite bottle of wine or what's your favorite wine in general, and I typically will give a somewhat comedic response that the answer for me is the one that's closest to my grasp. I really like nearly all wine. I tend to favor myself personally, my palate tends to favor mountain-grown Cabernet Sauvignon and with a high degree of intensity but balance. What I think our members are liking and aspiring to are a little bit more the traditional, where they like the big six grapes, if you will. They have a tendency, and I don't think this is accidental, since we focus on Napa and Sonoma, Cabernet Sauvignon and Chardonnay are king and queen, respectively, and it shows that way in transactions. We at Cellar Angels love a lot of the old world wines, are huge fans of the Rhone varietals, and can't get enough of them. Unfortunately, from the mainstream consumer, they aren't there yet. They I don't know if they're following the trends or following the media or being influenced, but in owning the wine shop, we used to expose people to Albarinos from Spain, you know, Grenache, Syrah, Mourvèdres from France, and they would love the quality to price ratio, but then still go grab a $35 bottle of Cabernet. So I don't understand it, but from a commercial standpoint, I get it. From a points and marketing standpoint, it's difficult to fight that battle. I don't know if that answers your question, Bob, or not, because I think it does.
I attended a sit-down seminar earlier this week given by one of the master sommeliers, and it was members of the Guild of Master Sommeliers.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all a tasting of Napa Valley. So we had some Napa Valley Merlot, some Napa Valley Sauvignon Blanc, Napa Valley Chardonnay, and, of course, Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon. And I found it rather interesting. One of the wines in the blend of Sauvignon Blanc, he used Ribolla Gialla, which is a very traditional white grape variety coming from the northeastern part of Italy. I know you mentioned the Big Six that you go after. How much interest of going into some of these non-Cabernet, Chardonnay, Merlot grapes is there for? I'm sure for you there's great interest. What about your members if they're getting, you know, some of these wines they've perhaps never heard of or some of these grapes that they're not familiar with? How does that play out?
It unfortunately, in my opinion, doesn't play out yet. I mean, there was a great article years ago on the cover of the San Francisco Wine section in the San Francisco Chronicle that asked the question, what's the difference between a case of Syrah and a case of pneumonia? And the answer was, you can get rid of a case of pneumonia. So I think you have a challenge to kind of connect with the members on some of those, I don't want to call them obscure grapes, but they are out of the mainstream, even though they produce exceptional wines. From a commercial appeal, though, our job is to help the wineries grow while at the same time raising funds for some terrific charities. So we're kind of concentrating more on the masses versus the lower ends of the bell curve where those folks reside that love the GSMs and love kind of the non-mainstream grape varieties.
Thank you. Mark?
As a lead-in to what I'm listening, I'm fascinated with the discussion you two are having on this. And as a lead-in, I'm going to preface the audience with, so often in discussions online, people talk about the American palate, and they're referring to the 100 million Americans who drink wine. And especially listening to this conversation, we're not talking about those people. There is a segment of that 100 million, and the best estimates are that somewhere near about 10 million people who are what I refer to as wine lovers, people who share a bottle of wine every night. It's an important part of their meal. And when I look at the marketplace, as I introduce myself, you know, I'm a wine business specialist rather than a wine specialist. There is this huge upsurge in, and it's continuing on, direct to consumer. But in addition to that, if you look closely at what segments of the price range are doing really well, even in the general overall market, it's the over $20 price range bottles. The direct-to-consumer reports this year showed significant growth, over 120% for wines over $100, over $150, and over $200 a bottle. So there seems to be this shift or this increase in demand that's going on for high quality wine, but it's not among everybody. It's among a special segment. And if I'm understanding the conversation that we're having correctly, that segment that I'm talking about makes up the significant part of your membership. So as time is going on, you know, you've been doing this now going on 6 years, Martin. You see that segment of the American palate changing, or is it, you know, fairly stable in your viewpoint?
I think that those 10 million people, Mark, you're absolutely right. They gravitate to the higher price wines, and the segment that you're talking about, the over $20 threshold, is categorized as fine wine. The average bottle price for a Cellar Angels offer is about $47, $48. The average transaction is over $400. So we appeal very well to that 10 million member mark that is interested in the exclusivity, the private access. We have had offers recently of bottles that were $175 to $200 a bottle, and that is not everyone's spending threshold. But the American palate that appreciates that ultra-rich, luxurious, decadent Cabernet Sauvignon that has some staying power both in the glass and also in the cellar, and then getting access to those still is resonating, and I think still is growing. Because once people, it's kind of, I analogize it with golf a little bit, and there's not many golf or wine analogies out there, but once you get a little bit good at golf, you want to get a little bit better. And once you get a little bit good at wine, you want to get a little bit better, and then better. And wine passion, wine love is a journey, not a destination, and we're only exploring Napa and Sonoma right now. We look forward to when we can start exploring some of the more prolific regions, or regions that are growing both within the United States and outside the United States. So, Mark, I don't think the American palate is changing that much. They like the high concentration. They love the depth of some of the Chardonnays. That is one area, though, I do see a tinge of a pendulum swing, where the Chardonnays are now starting to get a little bit more French in style, which I find fantastic and I'm very excited about. And they're moving away from kind of that oak and butter, which is some people love and enjoy, but as you get a little bit better into wine, some people find the minerality and acidity is really what they need to be after.
That's kind of really fascinating, especially that your average price per bottle, Martin, you said $46, because the average price in the DTC complete marketplace, that's to nearly $2 billion, is $39, and I believe this year it was 38 cents. It's very, very close. It's just slightly below what you're doing. So it does very much sound like the same market. We're getting close. I think, Bob, you got one more question. Why don't you shoot it out, and then we can wrap this up.
Okay. Martin, do you see a place for the use of technology in your business to reach more wine lovers?
Well, that's a great question, and I would say absolutely. And it's interesting in the data mining that we've done on our customer and how Nielsen classifies them as the affluent or mass affluent. These individuals and enthusiasts, they embrace technology, but they use it differently than what might be considered mainstream. They're on the internet, but they're looking at first choice of destination is financial sector information. Second choice is actually sports related. And then the third choice is travel and leisure. So we want to embrace technology because our clientele, as we all are getting increasingly more mobile. Many of them are traveling both domestically and internationally. They have second or vacation homes. So really the mobile device or smartphone is going to be paramount, and getting information to them and the ability for them to transact and essentially change the world via Seller Angels Charity Partners, that power is in the palm of their hand, and we're big believers in making it easier for our customers. So at the end of the day, technology is going to help reach them, and then as long as there's very few impediments for them to transact and get a case of wine sent to their door and then select a charity, that's where we're concentrating a lot of our focus on.
Great. Thank you. Mark?
Well, guys, I want to thank both of you for participating today. Martin, thank you for being a wonderful guest. We're going to close, and what I would like to say to everybody is if you listen to this show and have not had the opportunity to come visit our International Wine Professional Network, please do. You can find us at www.internationalwineprofessionals.net. Bob, why don't you say goodbye to everybody?
Martin, thank you very much for being with us today. And Mark, it's always a pleasure. And we look forward to seeing everybody on the next broadcast. Thank you.
Martin, why don't you close by saying goodbye and telling interested people how they can find out more about what you're doing?
Sure. And Bob and Mark, thank you so much for the opportunity. Humbling to give a voice to what we're doing. I appreciate it very much. Any wine lover can simply go to sellerangels.com, www.cellarangels.com, and angels is plural. There is no minimum commitment. There is no monthly fee. They can sign up and transact as often as they would like. And hopefully sometime in the very near future, Bob and Mark, our paths will cross and we can raise a glass together.
Thank you.
I think that would be great. So, audience, we look forward to hearing more from you. And we will let you know when our next show is very shortly. Goodbye, everybody.